Good morning, fans of the Gruelin' Truth. Our guest today is Anne Liguori. She is an author, reporter, done so many things in the industry. We are so lucky to have her as a guest today. But today we're talking about her new book, Life on the Green. Anne, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, James. It's good to be with you.
With golf being a cerebral and often spiritual game, will our listeners find your new book under sports or self-help?
I love that question. And I'm holding the book right here, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. Boy, it's really both. And that's what I'm very proud of in this very divisive time in our society and in golf. It's very positive. It's very uplifting, enlightening. I focus on themes and wisdom from 12 legends that I had the opportunity to interview, 12 legends in golf. And basically, I talk to them about what they bring from their iconic golf careers to day-to-day life. So the themes transfer over from golf. You don't have to be a golfer to really get a lot out of this book because they're universal themes. But I think even diehard golfers will learn a lot about these 12 legends because they tell so many great detailed stories. So I think it could be a little bit of both.
That is awesome. So, not that I need you to name all 12, but if you want to, feel free to. Who are those 12 legends from Life on the Green?
Well, so I interviewed six men and six women, everybody from the great Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Gary Player, Ben Crenshaw, Padraig Harrington, Bernard Longer. The women I have Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez, Jan Stevenson, Amy Alcott, Renee Powell, who's an Ohioan herself, Dottie Pepper. I wanted to really connect with role models. People who are old enough to share a lot of wisdom and who can could look back on their incredible golf careers and, have a lot of lessons to teach, not golf lessons, but lessons that they learn. Golf teaches us so much. I don't know if you're a golfer, James, but golf is like a microcosm of society. You learn so much from the game of golf that kind of mirrors life. And, these golfers, they're multifaceted. They're also very wise. And, Gary Player talks about pursuing your passion. I mean, he's 88 years young and he is still pursuing his passion. He plays golf every day. He's physically fit. He works out every day. He's very careful about, what he eats. Nutrition is very important to him. He's so inspiring, and at his age, he's still pursuing his dream, his passion. And I think that's a lesson for all of us.
That is awesome. That is so inspirational. And that's what it sounds like from all 12 of the legends, that you're going to get a little something different from each one of them that are going to really help you to understand life. That is phenomenal.
Yeah, you said an interesting word, different. Of every person I spoke with, they all, without any prompting from me, came up with different advice, different wisdom. And then when I heard something different, a lot, some were similar, but then I kind of zeroed in on those themes. So for instance, the great Nancy Lopez, who was the face of golf in the 70s, she talks about being positive. And if you're a golfer, it's so hard to be positive because it's such a difficult sport. Even the professionals miss short putts. And how do you forget about your mistakes and that bad shot you just hit? Well, you have to just forget about it, stay in the present and stay positive. And that carries over to life. We all have ups and downs that are very challenging in our personal lives or professional lives. And we just have to find a way to stay positive. As difficult as it is, we have to stay positive. And that message is loud and clear from Nancy Lopez in the book.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds very inspirational. How did you choose, though, which of those legendary golfers to have in your book?
Well, it was a hard choice because there are so many legends in golf, but I decided to go with an even number, 12. And I just wanted to go with people, who were a little older, who could look back on their careers and share wisdom and share great stories. And well, Padraig Harrington, he's probably the youngest guy in the book. And he's just, Padre Carrington revealed so much. He talks about overcoming fear on and off the course. Now, here's a guy who's won 3 major titles, James, and he still has fear when he goes to that first tee box. Not just nerves, but fear. So I picked personalities who I knew were good talkers, having been in the golf business all these years, and people who weren't afraid to share sides of them, perhaps seldom heard. And all these personalities were more than gracious. They gave me a lot of time and they talked about a lot of personal things. And I really, you know, am so grateful that they opened up and gave me the time for the book.
That is awesome. You mentioned Annika Sorenstam. I mean, probably the greatest women's golfer of all time. What did you get from her?
Annika has so many life lessons that she can share. And I think one of the biggest lessons in that chapter is to have patience. It sounds so easy, but in golf, you need so much patience. I'm an A-type personality, and I didn't learn golf until later in life. But I was, you know, more into the tennis and team sports, basketball and track and field and quick, right? In golf, you have to slow everything down. You can't take your work to the course. You just have to forget about everything and have so much patience and not rush and just be very methodical and very calm. And she says that carries over to her life as a mom. She has 2 children, mm-hmm. and she has to be very patient as a mother. And she learned that patience on the golf course.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of speaking with her, gosh, at Cincinnati has a new event about 2-3 years ago. They started at the Kroger's LPGA event. And yeah, gosh, she was just such a pleasure to speak with. And like you said, she just loves those darn kids. And oh my gosh, that. And then her husband, he was so helpful. He was talking all about their business adventures. And yeah, just really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, Mike McGee is her manager, her husband. And her son, Will, is becoming quite the golfer. He is so passionate about it. Annika and Will played in the PNC Championship in Orlando last December. And that was so much fun. You saw Tiger there with his son and, you know, a lot of father sons, and Annika played with her son, Will. And oh my gosh, it was so great to see, you know, see the families out there. And it was a family affair. It was so much fun. And I just love that family, Annika and her 2 children and Mike. They do so much for the community, and she does so much for young female golfers. You know, she has her own foundation, and a very inspirational leader, Annika Sorenstam, that's for sure.
So it sounds like for these professional golfers, navigating their life on and off the course is quite easy for them.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody has their ups and downs, and they talk about it. But, you know, the key thing is they learned how a lot of these virtues, a lot of this wisdom they gained from a lifetime of playing golf. So golf teaches us a lot of skills. It teaches us, you know, things like you have to be honest. You call your own penalties in golf. What other sport do you call your own penalties? And, you know, it's just incredible. You know, that part of it, integrity is a key theme in Jack Nicklaus's chapter, and being a good sport. You know, do you go for the green or do you lay up? Are you aggressive? Are you conservative? Tom Watson talks about humility, staying humble. No matter how many titles you win on the golf course, you're going to lose a lot. You're going to lose a lot more than you win. So, you know, I think his lesson of staying humble is very important. So there are just so many lessons that you learn from the game of golf, for sure.
Well, of course, in this book, there's 12 legends, 13, because, of course, you wrote it. So, of course, you know, we got to talk about that. But there's a 14th legend. And, of course, in Cincinnati, we love the number 14. The legend I'm talking about is the one who wrote the foreword to your book, Jim Nantz.
Oh, wow. Jim, I mean, I'm so grateful to Jim Nantz. I've known him for years, you know, covering golf, covering football in my early days. Jim is a legend, as you say, and you know, he's just a legend himself. So the fact that I asked him to write the foreword and he said yes, and then gave me literally three pages of incredible material, I'm just so honored. And what an amazing guy. I will see him at the Masters in a couple of weeks. I will be covering my 26th Masters.
Wow.
For WFAN in New York. I have a show in New York called Talking Golf. It airs Sundays, resuming in April through September. I did a show, you know, on WFAN called Hey Liguori, What's the Story? I was the first woman to host a call-in sports show. And I don't know if you remember, but WFAN in New York was the first all sports radio station ever. Yeah. And so that show, Hey Liguori, What's the Story? Aired for 25 years and had a blast doing it. That was all sports. We didn't really talk a lot of golf. I tried to put golf in there, but you know, that was really more about the New York teams, you know, the Mets, the Yankees, Jets, Giants, and Rangers, Islanders. So yeah, that show aired for 25 years. And along the way I met Jim Nance, and boy, I'm just so honored that he wrote that forward.
You mentioned early on, you didn't get into golf. You were more into team sports and to the other types of sports. But currently, do you play golf?
I try to play as much as I can. I've been a little busy lately. This book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf, it took me 3 years to write. And before that, it took me years and years and years to actually get a publishing deal. And I'm so pleased that Haley Press came in as a publisher, and Random House and Penguin are distributing it. It actually is not even, it's out April 2nd. So you are ahead of the curve. I'm very excited. You can order it now. You can go online and advance order it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, you know, a lot of different places. But yeah, I try to play golf. I mean, I played with Jan Stevenson, who's in the book. She's one of our legends in the book, a couple weeks ago in a celebrity tournament. So I do get a lot of great invitations for charity events. And I have my own charity tournament in the east end of Long Island, James, called the Anne Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic. And this year it's in May and it will be at Friar's Head. You know, we have a lot of incredible golf courses on Long Island. And so it will be our 26th golf charity golf event. I raise money for cancer research. And also for, we earmark some of the funds that we raise to scholarships for young women who want to pursue careers in sports media. I'm very proud of the golf tournament and the work we've done in you know, both those areas, cancer research and in mentorship. So I play some golf. I wish I had more time to play more, but hey, everything's working out and I try to get out there as often as I can.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, shoot, if you had just retired and been playing golf, you wouldn't have been able to write such an amazing book.
I don't think I'll ever retire. I think I'm going to be like Gary Player. Just keep pursuing your passion. I just love what I do. And, you know, hey, I just don't know if I could play golf 4 days, 5 days a week. I just think, you know, I'm a professional broadcaster and journalist. And I'm not a professional golfer. So I enjoy playing golf, but I really love what I do. So I will continue to talk sports as long as I can.
It sounds like both the interviews with Renee Pell and Jan Stevens cover such important and empowering topics from different perspectives. Does your experience as a talk show host, as a renowned interviewer, make those topics easier to discuss?
They are some very serious issues in both chapters. And again, I'm very grateful that both Jan Stevenson and Renee Powell opened up and shared their experiences with me. Jan talks about being, you know, the face of the LPGA in the 70s and how the LPGA basically used her sex appeal to put the LPGA on the map and to, you know, continue to exist, basically. And she did tell me that, you know, had she spent more time perhaps playing and training, she could have won even more titles. And, you know, she had a lot of criticism back then from her fellow competitors because they weren't happy that, you know, she was being portrayed like this to, you know, that she was using her sex appeal to sell the LPGA. So She finally got into the Hall of Fame. It took her a long time. She was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2019. And she talks about her story. She's had a lot of ups and downs. And her story is definitely worthy of a major motion picture. And actually, she's working on that as we speak. I had a chance to talk with her a couple of weeks ago when I played with her in a golf event in Tampa. And it's interesting that, you know, I know her story is going to be on the big screen someday, and deservingly so. Renee Powell, who is a, you know, Buckeye, has just an incredible story. She was the second Black female athlete to play on the LPGA Tour. The first was Althea Gibson, the famous tennis legend. But Renee faced a lot of racial discrimination growing up. And what she has overcome, James, is just incredible. And we go into a lot of that detail in that chapter. And boy, but what a success story. She is an honorary member of the RNA in St. Andrews, Scotland, and St. Andrews University, even named a dormitory after her. She's won all kinds of awards from the PGA and in the golf world, who recognize, you know, what she did, how she overcame so many obstacles to continue doing good work. And she's running the golf course that her father built in Canton, Ohio. Her father built this golf course, you know, so that everybody could play. There'd be no racial discrimination, no gender discrimination. And so she has continued his legacy, runs this golf course, and a lot of the educational programs that they actually just built an educational center there in Canton. So just honored to know Renee. She's overcome so much. And, you know, I just do my homework when I interview these personalities like you with this show. And I feel very comfortable talking about their lives and asking them about their lives. And if you make them feel comfortable enough, they really want to share their lives, not just the triumphs, you know, the good things, but, you know, the tough obstacle part of it as well. I mean, people learn from other people's stories. So they were just so gracious and really opening up and sharing so many sides of their success stories.
Well, with like Jan's thing about the 70s and how it was objectifying to women, at what point did the LPGA start to get better?
As far as increased prize money and
about more focusing on the golf than, like, you know, how she, yeah.
Sure. Well, I don't think obviously they could get away with that now, or, you know, not in our political correct society. Even back then, it raised a lot of eyebrows because, remember, you're probably too young, but there was a lot of controversy. She posed in a bathtub full of golf balls. And that was all that was in the bathtub. She had no clothes on. It was just golf balls. Very, you know, obviously very controversial pose back in the 70s. And I don't think it would never happen today. And she looks back and she basically put herself out there, she says, to, you know, to save the LPGA, to get attention, which they got. She would go on Johnny Carson. She said, anytime they would ask to go on Johnny Carson's show, he would have her on. And, you know, consequently, she thinks that the LPGA got a lot more publicity back then than perhaps now. So it's interesting. It would never happen today. You couldn't do that. And rightly so. I mean, I just think it's a shame that that's what it took to get the LPGA publicity.
So it sounds like things have improved dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. They would never do that now.
So, I mean, this book has some really great life lessons. They're quite universal. It has been a pleasure having you on. Before we let you go, where on social media, where on the web, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Sure. Please go to Instagram, and I'm at The Ann Liguori. It's The AnnLiguori. I'm on Twitter at Ann Liguori, and Facebook, LinkedIn, Ann Liguori. You can find me all over social media. And just looking forward to continuing this book tour, and hopefully you can advance order the book You can go on my website at annelagori.com. Google me, and hopefully you'll find me.
Thank you for joining us.
James, thanks so much. It's a pleasure.